Thank you for joining us for this Friday, October 21st edition of the Broomfield Enterprise. Today, we will be reading from the following main articles. Broomfield Zero Shoes names Wadley VP for product development. CU Boulder expands paid parental leave policy and benefits to start immediately for some employees. Boulder County Film Commission hosts a free fall schmoozer. And Broomfield discusses past, present, and future water resources. These and other articles. My name is Elaine. Broomfield discusses past, present, and future water resources. Water resources and conservation will continue to be a highly discussed topic for Broomfield, according to city staff. Water resources manager Brennan Middleton gave a presentation on Broomfield's water resources, past, present, and future, during Tuesday night's Broomfield City Council session. Broomfield has two major sources of potable water. Which are treated water from the Denver Water Board and raw water from both the Colorado Big Thompson and Windy Gap projects. Broomfield also owns and maintains and operates an extensive non-potable system that serves as an additional source of water supply to meet irrigation needs, according to the memo. Potable water is defined as drinking water that has been treated to levels that meet state and federal standards for consumption, while non-potable or reuse water is treated effluent from Broomfield's wastewater treatment facility, not treated to drinking water standards and intended soap. And demand are balanced. However, ongoing drought and issues surrounding Colorado River water supplies continue to threaten the reliability of my portfolio. We are projecting sufficient supplies to meet the city's long-term demands, according to Middleton. It's important to note that these are just projections. An effective water conservation program helps us provide a buffer during drought years and better manage the uncertainty inherent to these forecasts. Middleton discussed multiple anticipated capital improvement projects related to water supply and treatment that will be constructed over the next 10 years. The estimated cost of the projects is more than $318.7 million and will be funded by current and future water licenses sales. The city 2020 water efficiency plan with goals to optimize and expand the capacity of the reuse system and reduce total system demand by 10% in 2040. When the plan was adopted, city staff selected key activities to produce water savings, including expanding the reuse system, continuing support of existing conservation programs, adopting a gray water ordinance allowing the use of gray water in the city, and establishing a tiered water rate system. Broomfield staff is monitoring drought and issues with the Colorado River Basin closely, according to Middleton. Because most of Broomfield's water comes from the basin is approaching a crisis due to over-appropriation of water supplied in the basin, exacerbated by long-term drought, which has resulted in a gradual decrease in storage levels at Lake Powell and Lake Mead. The potential impacts to Broomfield are highly uncertain because implementation of relevant laws and agreements has never happened before. During council comments and questions, council members applauded the efforts already underway to conserve and expand water supplies for Broomfield. I was impressed with how much is already going on, but it just opens up the whole spectrum of how much more needs to be done, according to Council Member Bruce Leslie. I'd like to see more definitive targets and stronger relationships between the growth goals, infrastructure expansion needs, and water conservation strategies because they are related. Council Member Devin Schaff said he would be interested in Council adding more tiers to the new tiered rate system to further incentivize water conservation. Council Member James Marsh Holshin echoed others' sentiments, saying that the city needs to focus on tackling conservation initiatives. There was discussion around the use of turf on new developments in the city, which could be addressed during code updates that will be discussed within the next year. At next Tuesday's council meeting, the ordinance regarding changes to the monthly water service charges will be brought back for a second and final reading. A man involved in a hit and run and burglary pleads guilty. James Ortiz, who was arrested in Broomfield on September in 2021 in relation to a stolen truck and trailer that was later involved in a hit and run, pleaded guilty during a hearing on Friday morning. Ortiz pleaded guilty to first degree motor vehicle theft, possession of a weapon by a previous offender, and burglary. He was sentenced to 3 years in the Department of Corrections and 2 years parole for the first count, 18 months in the DOC and 1 year of parole for the second count, and 6 years in the DOC and 3 years parole on the third count. All sentences will run concurrently with each other and any other Department of Corrections sentences he may receive or is serving for charges in Arapahoe and El Paso counties, according to court notes. He was credited with 431 days served. According to court notes, the court accepted the guilty plea for those charges and dismissed all other counts. His original charges included criminal mischief, resisting arrest, obstructing a peace officer, felony menacing, and 2 counts of violation of bond conditions. Local Journeys employees join Canned Dade at Skateboard Build event for a donation. Thanks to a Colorado-based nonprofit and employees from a Broomfield Journeys store, kids at the Hidden Lake Boys and Girls Club in Westminster will receive 40 freshly built skateboards. Canned Aid started in 2013 in response to devastating floods and has grown into a nationally recognized nonprofit organization. Canned Aid Treats and Treads and Trails programs was established to promote getting out and getting active and providing underserved children with the right tools to do that. The Tread and Trails program is an effort to combat some troubling statistics, according to Canned Aid Executive Director Diana Ralston. Kids are getting an average of 7 hours of screen time a day, and only 1 in 5 kids are getting the recommended amount of exercise every day. Canned Aid partnered with Journeys for the second year in a row on Tuesday to host a skateboard build event at the Comfort Suites. Local Journeys employees and volunteers from throughout the community joined a Boys and Girls Club later that day. For many of the children receiving a donation, this will be their very first skateboard, providing a valuable opportunity to get outside and get active. Throughout October, across the country, Canned Aid and local Journey stores will donate 1,480 skateboards to children in need. Throughout their partnership with the Journeys Group, they have donated more than 3,000 bikes and skateboards. We want to give these kids the tools to get outside more often and start leading a more active lifestyle. Canned Aid focuses on the idea that doing good in your community makes you feel good, and anyone can join in the movement to make a difference in their community. We're always looking for volunteers for many of our events and activities, Ralston said. If you're interested in learning more or getting involved, you can visit cannedaid.org. Kelly Rowski writes about people and plants, and this week on Gyokuru. Thanks to an online article from Dr. Andrew Weil, I'm getting acquainted with a particular type of green tea called Gyokuru. Its name means jade dew, which refers to the deep green leaf color. There are many types of tea. According to the University of Pittsburgh, there are three main classifications: black tea, which is fermented, oolong tea, which is semi-fermented, and green tea, which is not fermented. Within a green tea category, the most popular kind in Japan is sencha, made from the first crop of the season. A lower grade of green tea is bancha, which is made from leaves and stalks. Genmaicha tea is another type made with rice kernels. This is one of many teas I particularly love. Gyokuru and matcha are high grade and ceremonial teas, respectively, which come exclusively from leaves grown in the shade. Gyokuru is shaded for approximately 20 days before harvest. It's said to have a unique and sweet flavor. Whereas 78% of the tea grown in Japan is made into sencha, only 0.3% is processed as gyokuru. Dr. Weil shares that sometimes individuals who are new to drinking green tea dislike the flavor. He recommends trying one of literally thousands of varieties that are processed in Japan. Thanks to a polyphenol in tea called EGCG, regularly drinking tea can contribute to cardiovascular and neurological benefits. Compared to black tea, green tea contains 7 more times the amount of this substance. Another compound found in tea is an amino acid called L-theanine, which has also been shown to have multiple health benefits, including balancing sleep and wake cycles, reducing anxiety, calming effects, and rejuvenation, reducing mental and physical stress, and even improving cognition. One study indicated that it may be helpful in increasing the immune response to infection by boosting the disease-fighting capability of certain T cells. The amount of theanine in a cup of gyokuru is almost 9 times higher than any of your standard green teas. After doing a quick search online, I can confidently share that this is a very expensive tea. Perhaps one of these days I'll splurge and purchase a small amount. I can then personally enjoy a cup of one of Japan's finest teas. Thank you for joining us for Broomfield Enterprise. My name is Elaine.